Good morning and welcome to this service of worship from Latrobe United Presbyterian Church, 340 Spring Street in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'm John Simpson, the interim pastor here. This morning, the sermon topic is the staff of Moses and the staff of God. We invite you to join us for worship here at Latrobe UP Church any Sunday in the coming weeks and months. We worship here at 11 o'clock a.m., and we would be happy to see you. Let us worship God together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. Let us worship together. Now please join in this hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. Pray together. Lord, as we gather together here this morning, we pray that you would be with us, that you would surround us with your care, that you would inspire us and guide us, that you would encourage us, and that you would help us in this time to know of the extent of your love for us, the extent of your love that was shown so clearly in the life and death and resurrection of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us as we worship and help us to hear your word to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The first scripture lesson is taken from the book of Exodus. In fact, both of the scripture lessons are taken from the book of Exodus. The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, and then chapter 4, verses 1 and 5. Listen for God speaking to you through these words. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And so Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why this bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to Moses from within the bush. Moses, Moses, said God. Moses replied, here am I. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for this place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. At this mountain, at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. And so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and with honey, the home of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. And so now, go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. God answered, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they say, God did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? A staff, Moses replied. The Lord said, throw it down on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And so Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it was turned back into the staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, has appeared to you. Amen. Now listen and share in this hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church.
Thank you.
We continue this story as it is contained in Exodus, picking up in chapter 4, verse 13. Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send somebody else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against him. "What about your brother Aaron and Levi? He can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you to speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him." But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." Jethro said, "Go, I wish you well." Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all of the men who wanted to kill you are dead." And so Moses took his wife and his sons, and he put them on a donkey, and he started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Amen. Security is a funny thing. All of us want it. Sometimes we have it. We know if we have it, we experience it, and we can feel it all around us. But sometimes when we think that we have it, we don't. Security is a funny thing. The security of marriage can be broken by divorce. The security of a good job can disappear in the reorganization process of a company or in a bad economy. The security of health can be abruptly ended by the discovery of a sudden and serious illness, the security of a long planned for retirement can be taken away when a company goes into bankruptcy and when you only get pennies on a dollar, or worse yet, you end up with no retirement at all. The security of a loving family living nearby to help care for us in our old age can be taken away when the children all move out of state in search of a job. Security is a funny thing. All of us want it. Sometimes we have it. But sometimes when we think that we have it, we don't. Where do you find your security? Where do you find your security? To be secure is to be safe, or at least to feel safe, safe from danger, safe from cares, safe from worries, anxieties, and fears. To be secure is to be safe, or at least to feel safe. So how are you doing with that? Personally, I mean. Do you feel secure? Do you feel secure in your job, in your finances, in your marriage, in your family, in the age that you are at? Do you feel secure in all of those things? And how about eternal life after death? Do you feel secure in that? The landmark Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco was built in the late 1930s. It cost $77 million, cheap by today's standards. But it also cost the lives of 23 workers. Men who fell to their death while building that great bridge. The consequence of all of these workers falling to their deaths was that those workers who remained became more and more cautious as their fears grew and as they felt more and more insecure moving about on those precarious heights on those little skinny I-beams. Insecurity caused them to move slower, and moving slower meant that they accomplished far less in their eight-hour day, and that in turn led to skyrocketing costs for that bridge and for that project. Then somebody hit on an idea. They hit on an idea of building a net, a giant net, under the area where people were working. And so this great net, reportedly costing $100,000, was built of heavy rope and installed under the construction area. And the work then proceeded at a much faster pace because the workers had the security of knowing that if they slipped, if they fell, their lives would be spared. That security saved time. That security saved money. That security saved lives as this massive bridge moved towards completion at a faster pace. Where do you find your security? What are, or who are, the safety nets in your life? And how strong, how trustworthy, how secure are they, really? In the scripture lesson this morning, we see old Moses way out in the wilderness, miles and miles from nowhere, with no one around except a bunch of sheep. It was hot. It was dry, it was barren. But the Bible gives us no indication that there was anything other than a normal day for for this shepherd named Moses. He followed the sheep as they gazed on meager grasses. He watched those sheep that tended to stray away from the flock, and he brought them back to where the flock was. He guided the sheep toward springs of water in the desert, and he protected the sheep from wild animals that were looking to make those sheep their next meal. But that all changed. That all changed when Moses saw a distant bush on fire. But it didn't appear to be burning up. You know the story. When Moses went to investigate, God spoke to him out of the bush, and God told Moses that he had chosen him to lead his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. But you know the story. Like so many people before him, Moses was quick to make excuses for not being willing to obey God. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" he said. "But Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow to speak and slow of tongue. But Lord, who should I say has sent me?" And Moses said, "What if they don't believe me? What if they say, 'The Lord didn't appear to you? You're hallucinating.'" Well, you know the story. You know that God was not about to put up with the flimsy excuses of Moses, because Moses was his man. And so here is what God said to Moses. He said, "Look, Moses, if they don't believe you that I have sent you, if they doubt that I have ever appeared to you, then try this." Moses said, "Try what, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Moses, you see that stick that is in your hand, the one that you have with you all of the time as you herd the sheep, and as you wander about in this wilderness?" And Moses said, "You mean my staff?" And God said, "Yeah, whatever. Call it whatever you want. I want you to throw it down on the ground." And Moses said, "But Lord, I can't do that. The staff is my security blanket. I use it to herd the sheep. I use it to drive away the animals that are trying to harm the sheep. The staff has seen me through 40 years of lonely wilderness sheep herding. I can't let go of it. I can't do, because I cannot do, I cannot herd sheep. I can't do what I need to do without it. I can't let go of it, Lord." The Lord said to Moses, "Moses, throw it down." So Moses did as he was commanded, and he became a hissing snake. And God said to Moses, "If people don't believe that I've appeared to you and that I have sent you, then just throw down your staff and it will become a hissing snake, and then they will believe for sure. Now pick it up by the tail." And Moses said, "You kidding me, God? Or you must be kidding. I don't even like snakes. How about I kill it first and then I pick it up?" And God said, "Moses, I told you, pick it up." So Moses picked up the snake, and it became a staff once more. And that staff was never the same again. What once was the staff of Moses became the staff of God. What once was the staff of Moses became the staff of God. Once he had thrown down his security blanket as God commanded him, once he had given it to God, once he had given it to God, God was able to use it in an amazing way to accomplish what he wanted. Moses traded in the security of his staff for the security of a life lived in obedience to God. Let me say that again. Moses traded in the security of that staff for the security of a life lived in obedience to God. And here's the really neat thing. It's very subtle, oh so subtle. Once he had given up the object in which he found security, it was used by God, and it also belonged to God. It was used by God, and it belonged to God. In fact, if you continue reading in Exodus, the very last verse that I read, chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "And so Moses took his wife and sons and put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Once he had given up the object of his security, it was used by God, and it belonged to God." On a windy day, a man needed to do some work on his roof. It had a very sharp peak on it. And so he decided that in order to be safe on the roof, he should secure himself to something that was firmly planted in the earth. So he tied the rope around his waist, he pulled it tight, he climbed up onto the roof over the peak, and then he threw the rope over the other side and asked his son to tie it to a tree there in the yard. It would be secure. Well, the kid thought that tree that he wants me to tie it to is far too small. It would never hold my dad if he should slip and fall. And so he tied the rope to the trailer hitch on the family SUV. Meanwhile, Mom was busy in the house and starting to get dinner together when she discovered that an important ingredient was missing from her recipe. So with a quick trip to the store being necessary, she grabbed her purse, she grabbed her keys, she jumped into the family SUV, and she put it in reverse. I'll let you imagine the end of that story. But that is the end. But that which, the point of the story is this. Often we, like the man and his son, hitch our security to people and to things. Often we, like the man and his son, hitch our security to people and to things that we think are secure, but that in the end are not secure at all. Kenneth Hendren wrote, quote, "Security is our nearness to God, not our distance from danger." Security is our nearness to God, not our distance from danger. The only truly secure life, the only truly secure life is a life that is built on a personal daily relationship with Jesus Christ, who lived as we live, who died on the cross that our sins might be forgiven, and who died on the cross so that we might know the extent of God's love for us. The only truly secure relationship is a life that is built on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who will one day welcome us to heaven and to an eternal life with him. A life lived close to Jesus Christ is the only real security in this life and in the life to come. Security is a funny thing. On whom or on what? Where do you find your security? Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we hitch ourselves to so many other things for our security, for our meaning, for our purpose in life. Lord, you alone are the rock. You alone are the rock of our salvation. You alone are worthy to be the source of our security in this life and in the life to come. Lord, draw us to yourself. Draw us to yourself, that we may live life in the security of our relationship with you and one day live eternally with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now please share with me in this hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. Now let us go into the world in peace. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.